I'm really loving doing these interviews. They've kind of become an excuse for me to be able to meet new people that I've seen around. Maybe I've heard them speak. Maybe I know about their ministry, but I really never had the opportunity to just sit down and talk to them and hear their stories. And it's kind of funny because I started this podcast because I thought some of the people that I'm close to, they have such amazing stories. And I thought, man, other people need to hear these stories. And so it started as a way for me to share the stories of missionary friends, minister friends, other people. But now it has, as this has grown little by little, it has kind of turned into an opportunity for me to hear other people's stories, because that's one of the things I love, is just hearing people's stories. And so today in this interview, this is one of those opportunities that I had where there is a woman named Felicia who I met her husband at a revival campaign called Revival Harvest America in Olean, New York, a couple of years ago. I actually met her husband there, and I was just there serving. I wasn't a speaker or anything like that. And I went to help set up the banner signs inviting people to come to the stadium. And so I was one of the volunteers there, and her husband, Thomas, was one of the guys who was helping, because these were gigantic banners. And he was one of the guys who came and helped set up the banner. So I met him there. We became Facebook friends. Didn't really talk after that. I would see his posts every now and then. And they have a share. He and Felicia have a shared account. So I would see her posts every now and then. And I just started seeing some posts about one of their son named Isaiah, who he has cerebral palsy. And I, over the course of time, as she was posting devotionals about her son and raising Isaiah and different things, it kind of caught my attention. And I ended up going to their website, going to her blog, and reading about her journey. And it really impacted me, really touched me. And I thought, as I was thinking about different people to interview for this podcast, I thought of Felicia and I thought of her blog. And I thought, man, she has such an incredible story. And I would really like to hear more, because I've never spoken to Felicia. I've never really sat down with Thomas. And so I thought, you know, this is the perfect opportunity, the perfect vehicle, and the perfect excuse for me to be able to just sit down and hear her story, hear their story. And so now Thomas is not in this interview, but Felicia, she was able to just share about Isaiah and her ministry and her blog and all the different things that she's doing. I don't want to spoil it. I'll let that come out in the interview. But it was just such a blessing. And so I'm so excited to be able to share this interview with you today, because it really is one of those interviews that you walk away just impacted. And so I hope that you're impacted the same way that I was, and I hope that you're blessed and encouraged just like I was. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say in this. I know it's a short intro, so I hope that you enjoy it. And that's about it. Let's get into it. Yeah, really, I met your husband in Olean in New York. I don't know if you were there. No. At Revival Harvest America. Well, he and I helped put up a big banner, like a big sign, whenever we were there. And okay. didn't really get to talk much, but just through that, we ended up connecting just through Facebook. And I've been seeing your posts, and you know how it is. Like, I don't get on Facebook super often, but I was just scrolling through. I've been seeing your posts every now and then. And so then I went on your blog and your website and was just reading your story. And I was just so impacted by it myself, because I have a 7-year-old son, and just seeing your Facebook posts and kind of, you know, you share things in it's such a, like a grounded, like a real, the way real people think, the way that, because a lot of times whenever people do like blogs or they do teachings, it's also like everything is like picture perfect, you know, kind of the social media kind of thing. And so whenever I was reading your posts and the way that you express how you feel, I just thought, to me, it was so powerful. And so I just wanted to reach out to you and just ask, I just wanted to ask about that. I ask about your story with Isaiah and your family. You guys, you live in Wisconsin, is that correct?
Yes.
And did you grow up there? Because I know I read that your family is from Laos. I saw your cooking channel on YouTube, and so did you grow up in Wisconsin?
Nope, I grew up in Laos. I came to Wisconsin when I was 9 and a half. We actually migrated here in the 80s as refugees.
Oh.
That was, because Laos is still a communist country, and so at that time there was like a huge migration of people, I guess, leaving. So yeah, about over 20 years ago.
Wow. Okay. So in Laos, is there, I've been to Thailand a few times, but I've actually never been to Laos. Is there a lot of war there? Like, I know Cambodia, there's been a lot of war there. Is it the same in Laos?
A lot of civil war. So Thailand and Laos is, there used to be one country, and there were so many civil wars that they split into two countries. And they're more lenient now with people traveling, but back then they weren't doing any trading. So it's been a while. I have not been back there since as a child. And I really don't have any desire to go back just because it's such a long way. It takes like over 24 hours. I have three kids. And, unless God really makes a way for me to be there, I just really, I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you don't have any desire to like take your kids there and show them or
It's not like Hawaii. Laos is,
right.
Hawaii is relaxing. It's like a luxury resort. You go to Laos, it takes like 24 hours. The infrastructures there are not like here. We're very blessed here where everything connects. Over there, it's like, I think it's almost 24 hours. But my mom, she went there every single year since she's been here because that's her homeland and she
Yeah.
feels home. So, it's very difficult. You have to hop on different planes and connects, and you have to have 10 to 14-hour layovers. Like that to me is just not like not a vacation.
Right. Yeah, my wife, she's from Panama, and she now Panama's a lot closer. It takes about 8 hours to get there, and even just doing like a little 8 hour flight. I remember whenever we first started traveling, because I was on the mission field in Panama for like 13, 14 years. And whenever I was down there, we were broke. So whenever we wanted to come back to the States to visit my family, we would have to go to Costa Rica because the flights were so much cheaper from Costa Rica than from Panama. So we would take an 8 hour bus to get to Costa Rica. Crossing the border crossings are awful. And then the flight, yeah, it was never any fun at all. But my wife still, she still, we haven't gone this year, obviously, because of COVID, and the borders are just completely closed right now. But she always wants to go visit her family. And but the food must be good because you've got all those those videos that you have on your YouTube channel.
It's just like when it all started last year, really with the videos, I don't know, I'm just answering the questions as you are presenting to me, so it's really not going to any order.
Right.
I like to cook. I didn't go to cooking school, so I learned everything from mom and just helping her in the kitchen, and I cook for my families anyway, so I just thought I'd share some of the recipes that our family enjoys and our friends enjoy. It's just like a little hobby for me. I mean, I wasn't trying to be a YouTube star or anything, but I'm thinking like, why, now that I look back, I'm like, what in the world possessed me to even want to do that? That is so crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, those videos were super professional. I mean, you had all the ingredients laid out, and I mean, you even had a, I'm guessing that was your husband who was the cameraman.
Yes, I did. Like, why are you doing this? It's torture for him. I'm like, honey, I need your help because, well, it's kind of hard to talk and do all this stuff and videotape. I mean, I see people doing everything, but you know what? It's something I enjoy, and I just want to share it.
Yeah.
If people find it, helpful, great. It's just something I do all the time anyway. You know what I mean?
Well,
I just do it, so.
I was watching the video with the spring rolls, that your very first video, because I always wanted to know how to make them. And I was like, oh, amazing. But then you threw in that whole surprise of you also taught how to make sweet and sour sauce in the same video. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have double recipes here in one. So
It's fun. I mean, and it's really easy. So I'm hoping right now I'm just trying to we just launched that website really just a few weeks ago. And so everything's kind of coming together. At first, I just really wasn't like, what is going on here? And my friend, she actually suggested I have a website. I'm like, well, why do I need a website? You know, she said, you should get a website. And so, and that's really the Lord. He blessed me with a website. And it was a friend that did it as a gift. And wow. So I was like, wow, thank you, Lord, you know?
Well, you're quite an entrepreneur, because I was looking at your website and you've got essential oils on there. You've got do-it-yourself stuff on there. You've got your cooking on there. Like you kind of do all kinds of things.
Right. And like I mentioned before, it all started last year. I just started with the video just for fun. Okay. I wanted to see if I could do it. It was more of a hobby. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be the next YouTube star or anything.
Right.
I want to see if I could do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this. And God really has been putting upon my heart to write books too. And I just kind of been putting it off on the shelf. But then, so that I started writing the post, all of a sudden with Facebook, and really honestly, this is the first time that I went on Facebook. Usually my husband, he's the one that's, you know, because he's the writer. I'm not the writer. I actually cannot write. So it's totally God. So my husband does all the editing. I do the storytelling. And that was one of the reasons why I did not want to write, because my writing skills are not good.
So you said you cannot write. Is that like you literally cannot write, or you can write, you're just not very good at writing?
Yes, I'm not good with the grammar, because English is my second language, and I always struggle with having that perfect grammar. I know I can pray as much as I want, but I'm just not going to get the perfect grammar. I do the storytelling, but I just know that that is my weakness. It is not my strength. So when the Lord wanted me to share that on Facebook, I was scared. I'm like, but I can't write, Lord. What am I, you know what I mean? I was scared, because how am I going to put this into my thoughts? How am I going to do with my grammar and all this? And thank God I'm married to a husband who's great at writing, and he's perfect in grammar. So it's funny how God provide, you know what I mean? So the first time the Lord put upon my heart to share that on Facebook, I was like, why do I want to share that on Facebook? Because, you know, that chapter in my life was really hard for our families. And so I really struggled with that for a while, until the Lord said, you know, just to encourage other people. But this was the first time in 7 years that I actually wrote about it. But I never even talked a lot about it, because I just don't like talking about it. I got tired of talking about it.
Yeah. I want to get into talking about Isaiah, but I have to ask you one question, because I get asked this every single day. I'm sure you get asked this all the time too. So if English is your second language, are your kids bilingual as well? Have you taught them the language of Laos? Because in our house, we always speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. So people always ask me, do your kids speak Spanish and English? Do you teach your kids your first language?
Well, I'm not good at that either. when I came to the U.S., we were just so focused on learning the English that nobody practiced Laotian. So I kind of lost it. I'm actually really rusty. And since both of my parents died, you know, we were always trying to learn English. And so we almost forgot. But I mean, I can actually sit in a conversation. I can understand. But for me to have like a fluent conversation with them, I would have to really sit under that again and practice. So if I was to go to Laos, I probably could find my way back to U.S. But, you know, very rusty. And my children, I just teach them a few couple words, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so tell me about Isaiah. You have three children, right? Yeah. And I don't want to tell the story. I've been reading in your blog posts and everything, so I don't want to like take it from you. But if you could just tell us the story of how, just tell us about your kids.
Okay, well, I'm married for about 15 years to a wonderful man of God. We have three beautiful children. Boy, girl, boy, 12, 10, and 7. So our third son, Isaiah, is the youngest. And so when he was born, I mean, I had a healthy pregnancy and everything. So when he was born, he never came back to the delivery room. And I asked my, well, where's the baby? And my husband said, oh, he's in the NICU. And I'm like, well, why is he in there? So I guess he lacked oxygen. And so he needed extra oxygen. And so it turned out that he was in a NICU for 6 weeks. And he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, which affects his speech, his language, his motor skills. So he needs help with everything, just like a baby. But they said that his brain is not affected, but he does know that I'm his mother and, you know, like the families, he does know them. He just can't speak. He does right now. He does try to, I mean, he cries and, you know, so he knows when he wants something and when he doesn't. So he'll cry if he doesn't like something. If he likes something, he still laughs. He still giggles. That's where we're at.
So when that was happening, whenever they took him to the NICU, did they tell you right away? Because you said he was in there for 6 weeks. What was going through your mind when that, I mean, as a parent, that must have been really, really difficult not knowing what was going on.
Right. Well, I think we were in shock. Like, what happened? Like, to this day, I honestly, because the whole pregnancy, I was healthy. There was, you know, there were no signs that, it was a healthy pregnancy. You know, my doctor never mentioned anything about anything being wrong or anything. So I think we were just shocked that, like, what happened to him? Is this the right baby? Are you sure? You know, sometimes I wonder, is this the right baby?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, to this day, my mom thinks somebody dropped him on his head in the hospital. I don't know. But he was in there for 6 weeks, and they had every test that, you know, you could think of. And they told us that he might be in there for like 6 to 8 months. I was thinking, no, he's not. I'm getting him out of here, you know, because I just felt like he was a guinea pig. They didn't want to do all these tests. And I kept telling them, is this going to help him walk? Is this going to help him talk? Is this going to, so like when they said no, I'm like, then I don't want to do it. I don't want to do a spinal tap. I don't want his brain to be split open just in case, whatever, you know, like a lot of what ifs. And I said, no, no, no. And then so thank God we could get out. I felt like we were in jail almost trying to get him out, you know? So
I always wondered about that in those situations and in the hospital, whenever they have somebody like are, I mean, in the movies, they always just like, they have to like escape or something. I mean, were you able to just say, hey, we want to take our son and go, or did they just keep him as long as they want? And how does that work?
No, I appreciate the doctors and the nurses, but I just felt like there was nothing else they could do. I mean, I knew that he needed a miracle. Like whatever they could do, they could not. They said they can't make him walk, they can't make him talk. I'm like, you know, like that. And I really don't want him here. You know, if he can breathe on his own, so I was determined to get him out. So you know, just
yeah. So in those moments, whenever you're hearing these things about him having cerebral palsy, like how do you? Yeah, because I know a lot of people, I've been reading what your writings and your posts, and you talk about how difficult that was, but that you maintained hope in God, that you maintained your love for God. And that is a question, because a lot of people, whenever they go through a difficulty like you've gone through, a lot of people right away, like, oh, well, God doesn't love me, and they abandon God. And they say, well, God, I mean, some people even say, well, God isn't even real. Or they, for example, they say, well, I still believe in God, but I don't believe in miracles. God doesn't do miracles anymore. But you even talk about how you still, to this day, you still are standing in faith that God is going to heal Isaiah. So how do you approach God in that moment? And even up until today, how do you approach God in this situation?
Well, it definitely was a journey. So, you know, in the beginning, there was a lot of crying, just a lot of crying, because that's just you're just so shocked that you just don't know what to do. And we, you know, we did go through a downward, like, why did this happen, Lord? Because I mean, we're Christians. We believe, you know, I don't get it. What happened? It was a lot of like, why? Like what happened? Why is this happening? You know, it's not like we're bad people. I mean, we really love the Lord. We're believers, and we try to be Christ-like, and it was just like, gosh, what happened? Like, you know, and honestly, I don't think I would ever know the answer until I get to heaven, because after a while, you just get tired of asking, you know, and after a while you said, God, I don't understand what's going on, what you're doing, or what is happening, but I'm just going to trust you and just surrender this whole thing to you, because I really can't do any more than what we can. You know, we're praying, we're believing, we're declaring the word. It's not like we're not believers. We believe in miracles. And at first we took him to every prayer meeting, anytime there was a prophet or, you know, major, we would just go there and get prayed, you know, for. And after a while, you just get tired, you know, because we realize they don't have, the Holy Spirit is still the same. Their Holy Spirit is not greater than the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. The question is, why is he not healed? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, so that is like a frustrating question for all of us.
Yeah, I know that's been a big question in a lot of people. Even, I don't know if you know who Smith Wigglesworth was, but Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he was a very famous healing evangelist back, I don't know, I can't even remember, it was like 1800, something like that. And he had a nephew who would always travel with him who was deaf, and he was never healed, even though they were in these meetings where all these people were healed, and people would constantly come and ask him, if God is really with you, if these healings are real, then why hasn't your nephew been healed? Yeah. And those are questions a lot of people have, like, why did Catherine Coleman die of an enlarged heart? And I mean, these are relevant questions. And I think they're legitimate questions. And those are things that I think that they're questions that a lot of people have, and a lot of people are not willing to go talk about it publicly like you have by going on Facebook and doing these posts. And I think what you're doing is really, it's really good. And it really brings to light for a lot of people the ability to ask those questions. Like you wrote, let me see, where did you, in one of your blog posts, you said that whenever this started, you asked God a lot of questions. You asked, why, Lord, do you even care? Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would be afraid to ask those questions. And so I guess my question for you is, now that time has passed, and I don't know, maybe you still ask those questions, I don't know, but do you feel like it is healthy for people to approach God and ask those kinds of do you think, I guess I should say, do you think that God gets upset whenever we ask him those hard questions?
No, because God loves us, and he knows those questions before we even ask. He just wants us to come to him, to acknowledge him, and just to be honest with him. I mean, he already knows what's in our thoughts, what's in our hearts. He just wants us to just bring it to him. This is where I'm at, Lord, and you're my Father. You love me. You care for me. I just need to talk to you, you know, and I want to be real to you. And that's what he wants, realness, you know. We have to be transparent. And that's what he wants, transparency. Because when we can come to him in that honesty, then he could really help us, you know. It's just because he wants to help us and he wants to comfort us.
Yeah, he wants that relationship with us. I agree with you. Whenever in my time with God, whenever I pray, I'm usually really, really blunt in the same way. One of the interviews I recently did with a couple from Mexico, they're missionaries in Mexico. We were talking about this exact topic about how there are times when you're there and you're asking God, God, do you even see me right now? Do you even know what I'm going through? And you even talk about that. You talk about whenever God is silent, and I love your posts because they're so real, and they really do bring up so many things that so many people want to know. Like you, one thing you said was, it's easy to worship God when your world is going well, but can we worship him in the hard times? And that is really a rare attitude. A lot of people, they'll say, oh, yes, I would. Yes, of course. But it's actually not very common for people to legitimately continue to worship God when they are going through really difficult times. And so I know you said that you don't really go to classes where there are other mothers with children who have disabilities, but do you, now that you've been writing these posts, do you, have you had people coming to you and talking to you about these topics?
Well, I've had people reach out to me and just, you know, a lot of just said thank you for sharing the post, and they actually have been sharing with posts with other people that they know that have a child with disability or anyone. So, which is good. So I've been getting a lot of good feedback. So, which is good, because I really wasn't sure why God wanted me to do this, because it was really, because I just didn't want to do it. First of all, and then God has said, like, he said, get over yourself. Okay. So first of all, it's like, get over yourself, you know? You know, if this could be an encouragement to someone, I mean, and then I'm like, Lord, I just want to glorify him. So whatever I do, it doesn't matter if I'm writing the post, just going on with my daily life, you know, whatever I do, I try to glorify the Lord in everything I do. So I said, if it will bring you glory, I'll do it. Even though it was hard for me to be transparent and like to be on Facebook of all things, for people to know my business. So it was very, I guess the flesh doesn't want that, you know, because to be open and transparent before people you don't even know, it's like unheard of, you know, but you know, it's God when he wants you to do that, because the world is like the opposite. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's totally God, because I'm like, oh Lord, what are you doing?
So how, I mean, how did he tell you because it's Isaiah, he's almost seven, right? He's going to be seven soon. And so why now? How did the Lord start to speak to you about this?
Right. So it was really this year he put upon my heart, and I didn't want to do it because first of all, it was Facebook. I really was not involved in Facebook. My husband would post about our families and stuff. And then to share my heart on Facebook, it really was God. He just put it upon my heart, you know, because, you know, I started being more, it was really during the COVID, and God put it upon my heart. He said, you know what, reach out to people, because people are on Facebook and on other media. So I started just reaching out to people I haven't talked in like 10 years, just to see how they're doing and, you know, what's going on. And then that's when I'm like, you know, and I just noticed that there's a lot of flesh on Facebook. So I'm like, you know, if I'm going to post something, I'm going to glorify God. And that's what I want to do.
That's wonderful. That is one thing that I really appreciate about your posts. And I try to surround myself on Facebook or just in general, I try to surround myself who are speaking life, and they're speaking good things, because you're right, on Facebook, there's so much flesh and there's so much just hate and just, oh, it's just, it's awful. Like, I don't even like getting on there anymore, because it's just so much of that stuff. And I don't like to get involved. I get on basically just to post about our ministry or other things that we're doing. And so I'm glad you made that decision, because it's so easy to get caught up in the whole stream.
People are talking about their every minute, what they're doing. I'm like, that's probably not wise. There's probably stalkers out there. You know what I mean? And they're just talking about nonsense stuff. And a lot of people are like, have no clothes on. I'm like, is this even legal? So I was like, wow. I just was like, you know, like.
Oh, man. You know, I have been shocked by that, because the one thing about Facebook is it shows us, it's like people are completely different people on Facebook than they are in person. I know people who, whenever you're with them in person, they are the godliest people that you would think that you knew. And then you go on Facebook and they're putting the most like vulgar, worldly stuff on there, promoting all kinds of stuff. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh my gosh. I know. Because like I said, this was like my Facebook like year and Instagram. And oh my gosh, that's even worse. I was like, wow.
Do you take your pictures on Instagram?
Yes.
You take them, because those are that, man, I just like food. And so the pictures that you put of the spring roll on there, I was just looking, I was like, oh man, I'm going to Walmart after this, and I'm going to get spring roll ingredients.
Did you try making it?
Not yet. I haven't yet.
It's so easy, because, you know, you go to like Trader Joe's or any of these food places, it's like two rolls for like $6. I'm not paying that. It's like, plus when you make it, it's so easy. And my gosh, my kids could just roll it up, you know?
So are you a stay-at-home mom, or do you have another job that you do?
I stay at home right now. I work very part-time doing nails for the elderly, very part-time doing that, because I did that before I got married. So I kind of just kept that job because it was flexible and just, you know, extra money and just a chance for me to get out of the house. And but I also have a wellness business with essential oils and Young Living. So that was, I just started that business about this year. A friend introduced me to it about a year ago. And I started as a customer. I like the oil so much that I decided to make it my business. And I just love it. It's been such a blessing to me. And I love the oil. So, and other products that they offer.
Yeah, my wife, I don't know what, she uses a lot of oils as well. And so I know it. So does that do well for you? Have you been able to work well with Young Living?
Yes. Yeah, so I just actually just started the business. So I started as a customer, but now I'm starting to build a business. I'm more involved. I'm more intentional in building the business. And it's such a great company that I'm like, you know what, this is already fitting to my health and wellness lifestyle. So it was just a benefit to me, and it was just an addition into my life. So it was adding on to my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you said in I believe it's like the about page of your website, you talked about how whenever, after Isaiah was born and you were going through this kind of a tornado of a difficult time, that you kind of let go of all kinds of things, right? Like you said you weren't really taking care of yourself emotionally, physically, and after a while it brought you on this journey of understanding the importance of health.
Right. So, you know, with Isaiah's situation, I was so consumed with that, with him, and just that, it really felt like a bomb exploded in our lives. And it was just, that's all I could focus on was him. That was it. And it took so much energy out of me. Like, he was not only a newborn, but he was a newborn with disabilities. So he had a lot of needs, and he would, it was hard because it was a new thing in my life. Like, I just had to, he just needed a lot of care. So he took a lot of my energy. And after a while, I was so busy that I was too tired to go exercise. I wasn't eating organic foods like I'm eating now. And I was just, I guess I was in a slump and I didn't even know it. Like, you know how you're so consumed with your situation, you just can't see anything else. Until it was like really about 3 years into it. And I just realized, like, I need to, like, there has to be a change. I can't keep on taking care of him the way I can take care of him and my family if I'm not taking care of myself. You know what I mean? Like, it was good to sacrifice to take care of him. But if I'm no good, if I'm not healthy, how can I take care of him and the rest of my family? So God was showing me everything. It was just like, the Lord said, you need to spend time with me, even though you're exhausted and you can't open your eyes. Like, I had to really carve the time. I had to fight that time. I had to make that time and to spend that time with the Lord. So the first thing was putting God first in my life again. That 30 minutes, no interruption. Like, I had to get up before everybody, because once the kids gets up, it's noisy and you can't hear God. And so, because in the midst of my chaos, I, the Lord said, you really need to hear my voice. So I started just getting up every morning between 5:30 and 6 before everybody, spend that 30 minutes, whatever I could do, at least, or even a scripture to hang on to, anything. So I started out with a scripture, you know, just praying and just talking to the Lord. And then God, you know, then led me to just look into my health. Like, I need to start exercising again. I need to eat healthy again, eating organic foods. And then, I started with the Young Living, and then so that's where I'm at. And
so 3 years went by. That's a pretty big chunk of time. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Whenever you go, when you're going through an experience like that, it can absolutely take up all your time. But I'm really curious with that time, that, because a lot of people, they struggle with that. A lot of people who have, even just not necessarily they're in they have a child with a disability, but they just have a really hectic job, or they have lots of kids or whatever, a newborn baby especially, they really find it hard to make that time to spend time with God. So for you, the best time has been that early morning, that 5:30 to 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Did you? Sorry, go ahead.
Know your schedule. Some people are night owls. I am not a night owl. Like you have, you know yourself. Some people are night owl. I have friends who will stay up till midnight because all their kids would sleep and they have energy at midnight. Well, I'm snoring at midnight. So for me, morning is the best. I have the most energy. My mind is rested. I'm clear. That, for me, that was my best time. I tried a night thing. I would just end up falling asleep with a Bible in my face, drooling all over the Bible. You know? So that was not working. So you know yourself, you know your schedule, and you do have to make the time. You have to carve the time because we always say, oh, I'm so busy. We all have the same hours. We make time for what is important. And then the most important thing is really our connection with God. We need to hear his voice. We need to, you know, we just need him again. Just back to the basic. We just need him again.
Do you think that right now the culture here in the United States, a lot of people have gotten away from the basics? They've maybe complicated things or made things too fluffy or whatever?
Yeah, you know, it's, we have made the gospel so complicated. You know, you talk about the Son of Heaven, you talk about prophecy, and yet they don't spend time with the Lord, the one-on-one. I'm like, well, how can you hear the Lord if you don't spend time with him? And I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours. God knows our schedule. He knows our lives. He knows we're busy. But when we make that effort, and he will honor that, it's just really that quality time. It's not about the hour. Hey, great, if you have 3 hours to be in the closet. I personally don't have that time. But if you have 3 hours, go ahead. You know, sometimes I just have a scripture, you know, to hang on to. So,
yeah, I know. I know some people, they are constantly reading, books, and but not really spending time actually with the Lord. It's, the Bible talks about how some people, they're constantly obtaining knowledge without ever actually achieving the wisdom within the knowledge. And right. I find that a lot too. Whenever you do your times with the Lord, do you have like a devotional that you use, or do you just go in with worship music, or how do you spend your time with the Lord?
Well, lately it's been, so this is my, this lately for the, really for the past year, this is my new schedule. I've just been getting up between 5:30 and 6. So usually it's between 5 and 6. I would grab my coffee, put on worship music. I always like to start with worship music. It just gets me going, I guess. And then I would have my pen, paper, and then I would just, you know, and I would just listen to the words. Like, and you know, and then God will speak to me, you know, just, you know, certain songs will minister to you, or just even a word. And then you'll hear like God trying to talk to you about something. So for me, that's what I've been doing every morning. I would just start. That's how I write my post in the morning between 5:30 and 6.
And how does God speak to you? I know it's different with a lot of people. Like for me, I usually don't hear words or get visions, or I usually feel like, I like an impulse, like an impression, and it just sort of pours out of me. How is it that God speaks to you?
You know, for the longest time, I always ask, God, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me, you know? And so, and I always like, God, I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. So I never hear an audible voice, okay? For me, I start just with thanking the Lord. So I always start with, thank you, Lord, where you have brought me from. And so out of that thankfulness, I remember where I am at and where he has brought me from. So just a thankful heart. And then, and he'll just put it in my heart to do something, and I'll just do it, you know? Like, and usually it's really always something uncomfortable and out of my comfort zone. And I know it's him because he's trying to grow me, like about like writing about this store and this website and this cooking. I'm like, God, why am I doing, I still question myself to this day. I'm like, why am I writing books? Why do you want me to do a YouTube channel? Why am I sharing on Facebook? Like, why am I doing this, you know? So I still question him too.
Do you think that there is something in prayer, that there's something important about even just your physical posturing within prayer? Because I know, for example, in, again, I keep going back to your post, but one of your posts, you talked about the importance of that it's okay to cry and how crying is actually healing for you. It's actually whenever you come into that place where you're weeping before the Lord, that healing can actually take place. And I've always often wondered about that, because in scripture, God told the Levites, he would often tell them different positions, like raise your hand, or he would tell them different physical things to do. And I know in church, for example, a lot of people, they lay face down. Do you think that there is something important just about the physicality in prayer? Do you think that God responds to physically weeping or kneeling physically? Because I know, for example, my wife, for her, it's really important that she, when she prays, she always likes to kneel. And I always wonder about that, because for me, I've never really understood the importance of position in prayer, but some people think it's really important. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I don't think God really cares how you worship. I think he looks at your heart, because you can just stand and have a, because you know, we all worship the Lord in a different way. I think God looks at the heart more than the posture. You can raise your hand and try to look good, but what is in your heart, you know? So really, the condition of the heart, I believe, is probably more important than the posture itself. But sometimes when I worship the Lord, I just raise my hand because that's where, you know, I just want to worship him because he's good and he's worthy to be praised. I do that, you know. But it's always different. It's not always the same thing. But I do cry a lot when I feel the Lord's presence. Because I used to never cry. I think I share one of my posts that, you know, growing up in a family, we just didn't, our family didn't say, I love you. You know, they were not raised that way. So we never really heard, I love you. But I know that my parents loved us just for the sacrifices and the things that they did for us. So when I grew up, I really didn't know how to communicate that. So when I started writing, when God, and I believe the Lord was trying to show me how to communicate, because I really didn't, I guess I didn't know I had a communication problem. And then, so when I started writing, it brought healing to me, and I started crying because I never really expressed it. You know, like, I'm just not one of those people that just cry about everything. I'm more of someone that holds it in. But when I come to God in his presence, I weep. Like, I weep, like, where my makeup is all gone. It's like weeping. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So maybe the physical, as long as the physicality actually reflects what's going on in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't cry over everything. Usually I don't cry, only in God's presence. That's the only time I cry.
Yeah. That's, I'm kind of the same way as well. I don't cry much out just in the normal world, but yeah, whenever I'm really spending, I definitely cry whenever I'm really in the presence of God, it definitely starts to affect me. So what are you going to write about? You're going to write it. You said you're going to write a book or two, or is your husband going to write and you're going to dictate it to him?
Right. My husband's like, oh gosh, Lord, poor guy. But you know what? Even the Lord even provided editors for me. So I had a word from church. I was at church and they prayed over me and they said, God will provide everything that you need. And I was like, wow. And so now I actually have my husband who's an editor and a friend who offered to edit. I'm like, thank you, Lord, because, you know, he knows I need help. And, you know, just like with that blessing with that website, that was a gift. And so God just really been blessing us and just putting it all together. And I know it's him because I mean, when God works on it, it happens so quick. Like, it just happens quickly. Like, he just puts everything together. It wasn't like I was planning this for years and months. You know, when it just kind of comes together like quickly. It was great.
Well, what are you gonna write about?
Well, when my mom passed away last Christmas, and we were actually working on a book together, because my mom really is an amazing woman, and she's probably the toughest person I know. And I wanted to write about her story because she was so interesting. She's a survivor. I always tell the children, if you were stranded on an island, you would want grandma to be on your team because you will not starve and you will make it out of that island because she is a survivor. I always tell her she'll probably make like worms into filet mignon because she's just an amazing woman. But so the Lord wanted me to write about her story, but she passed away. She started telling me about her life, and I've learned so much about like history, about my family history, which I didn't know about. And I was like, wow, she really is an interesting person. I would love to just write about it, you know? Yeah. So that was one.
So you're going to tell her story. What was, I mean, you're saying she's a survivor. What made her a survivor? She was just tough or because of being in Laos or?
Yeah. She's just a tough woman, like just tough as nails. And she is a survivor. She grew up in the jungle, which I didn't even know. Jungle, you know, with a family of eight, just two. She was the oldest sister. So she had to serve the family in the jungle. And then she had to get water from well, like miles away, and clean and cook and do all that for the brothers. And it was really an interesting story. And she was the only one of her family that went to school, which was a big deal, you know, because in Laos, when you're poor, you're poor. And you would have to have connections to even go to school. And God made a way for her to become a nurse. And she went to school to become a nurse. And that was a big, big deal. Not only that, but that, you know, just us escaping from our country as refugees. We went to two refugee camps, she was separated from my father. So they took two separate trips, which I don't think it was a good idea. But she took us girls, just my sister and I and some tour guides, and my father came a different time. So to me, I was like, oh my gosh, you went without dad, you know? And we, by the grace of God, we escaped and we went to the border of the refugee camp in Thailand. And my father met us later there. So we stayed there for a year and a half in the refugee camp in Thailand. And then we went to the refugee camp in the Philippines for 6 months. And then we came to Wisconsin.
So do you remember this? Because I know, like, for my wife, she was in Panama whenever the United States invaded, whenever she was like 5 or 6 years old, and she still remembers the helicopters flying in and the soldiers. Do you remember being in these refugee camps at all?
Yes. So by the time I reached the U.S., I was in fourth grade. I was 9 and a half, but I don't remember every single detail, but I do remember escaping at night, and then my mom would wake us up in the morning, like really dark, and it was pitch black, and she said, get up, it's time to go. So it was my sister and I, and then we were walking in the dark, like in the forest, for a long, long time. I remember the moon and the men, and we were tired, and remember they were carrying us on their backs, and we would stay along these different homes that that it was part of the deal. I don't always stay at homes. I remember all these geckos and lizards. And then we would keep on walking. I remember the storm and just being under a tree. And I was really like pouring and just drinking out of the leaves because we were thirsty. And then we just kept walking and walking and walking. And then at the break of dawn, and we finally reached the border of Laos and Thailand. That's when that's a safety border there. So I don't remember that part.
Well, what was going on that you needed to escape? You said you were refugees.
Yeah, well, Laos is a communist country. So there's a lot of there's always been civil wars going on there. And actually, when the soldiers came to our house, I remember a military truck came to our house and they took everything. They took us, my mom was a nurse. So I guess in Laos, you could have your pharmacy and you could sell medication and all that. And we did very well for ourselves. in Laos, when she was a midwife as well. So they came in and took all the medicine, all the medication. They took whatever they want, really. And so my mom just felt like, this is just not safe anymore. She just doesn't feel safe. And so that was when I think they made the decision that they were going to try to flee the country. And at that time, there was a migration of people just trying to leave Laos. And my father's brothers already made it to Wisconsin. So this was in the 80s. So they were sponsored in Wisconsin. That's why we came to Wisconsin, because they were here.
How did they get the sponsors to Wisconsin? What was the process for that? Do you know?
I have no idea, but it's just, I don't remember that part, but they sponsored us and somebody sponsored them. I really don't know the whole process,
yeah.
But they came before us. So they came before us.
Okay.
But we went to that ref, you know, I bet you when you go to the refugee camp in Thailand, maybe they do the paperwork for you, trying to help you. And because my mom was a nurse and my dad was in the military, so you kind of, like, you have to be on a list. So if you were contributing to society, then you, that's why we were only there for a year and a half. But if you were not, then you would have to wait longer to be sponsored. So technically, I guess we wouldn't have to be there that long. But I do remember refugee camp. Yeah.
Yeah. I know back in the 80s, it was a little bit easier to get into the States. Now, we just went through the whole green card process with my wife, and it took us almost 2 years of going through the process, just, and that's after we've been married and have two kids. We've been married for a long time now, for what, 14 years now. And even after all of that, we still had to go through this whole long process. And so it just seems to be getting more and more difficult. So now, have you been a Christian your whole life? Were your parents Christians? When did you come to the Lord?
Actually, my mom's family, they were Catholics, which is really unheard of in Laos because the majority of the population is Buddhist. So they were always made fun of, and, you know, so they're very rare for that. But they were Catholics. So when we came to the U.S., my mom would take us to church Christmas and Easter two times a year. Okay. And I would be in you know, CCD classes, whatever, the Bible classes. But when I became like an adult, I just stopped going to church altogether. We only went to church because mom took us, but, you know, two times a year. I mean, it was more religion. It was not a relationship. So as an adult, I walked away from the Lord because I really did not have that relationship. I didn't understand the whole thing. I knew there was God and there was hell, though. I knew there was hell and heaven. That's one thing I knew. And so when I became an adult, when I would do something wrong, guess where I would run to? The confession stand. I remember I would find the nearest church. I would run to the confession stand and say, oh, God, forgive me, you know. So I didn't know that part. So in my 20s, I actually moved away to California, and I got into a lot of trouble, just hung out with the wrong people, dated the wrong kind of guys, and just really was partying and just doing all kinds of stuff I was not supposed to do. But my friends in Wisconsin were praying hard for me. And one day my boyfriend at the time got arrested for drug dealing. So you know what kind of guys I was dating back then. So he got arrested with my car, and then he got thrown into jail, and my car was gone, my job was gone, the boyfriend was gone, everything was gone. So, and I found myself just crying, like, God, this is just crazy. What am I doing with my life? So I was, all of a sudden, I'm on the floor crying until I couldn't cry anymore. I said, God, if you're real, be real to me. And that's all I said. And all of a sudden, I felt like all these Christians, like, were coming into my life. Maybe I was looking for it this time, but I just noticed that ever since that prayer, God was sending Christians into my life. And I don't know if it was because I'm more open to it now, or I bet you he is. He really did send these people into my life. But I was paying attention this time because I wanted change. I was tired of my life. I'm like, there's got to be more, Lord. There's got to be more. And because of his grace and mercy, I met a girl who was a friend of mine, and she kept inviting me to church. She said, come on, let's come to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. The last time I was in church, I was a teenager, you know. She said, can you please just come one time? And I'm like, okay, if I go one time, you have to stop bugging me, okay? So I went to church with her, and God spoke to me, and I felt like the pastor was talking to me. He kept looking at me. I felt like he was looking, but really he wasn't looking at me. But the message convicted my heart, and I said, you know, I need to get back to church. That was my, I said, this year's New Year resolution is I want to find a church and I want to start going to church again. And that's how it all started.
And how did you meet Thomas?
At church. So this was in my 20s. I was still in California. And then God said, you need to move back to Wisconsin. So, and I know that was God's voice because I moved away from Wisconsin searching for adventure, fun, and whatever. But I was taken away from all my friends and family. I was kind of plopped almost like a lamb in a wolf's like community. That's what I felt like. And I was not strong enough to be there. And God said, you need to come back. And so I packed up everything, like within a week, got my U-Haul, and I was back in Wisconsin just like that. And so when I came back, I think I was around 20, 22, 23. And then my friend, we used to all party together, and then she got saved. So, and she was praying for me, and she said, I want you to come to church with me. And I'm like, okay, you know. I'm like, just one time. Just one time. Don't bug me anymore. So, and my, Tom at that time, he was doing the sound for the church, and I didn't even know anything really about the Lord, but he got saved and my friend was saved. And actually my friend was dating him at that time.
Wow.
Well, she introduced me to Tom and she said, oh, this is my boyfriend, Tom. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. And so they were dating for like 6 months. And then all of a sudden I said, where's your boyfriend? She said, oh, I don't know. I don't like him anymore. I'm like, why? I'm like, he's cute. He's good looking. And he's tall, you know, because my friend is really, really tall. And she always had a hard time finding guys that like her who are tall. They're always so short, you know. And I'm like, you know, so that's, but it was 3 years later that Tom and I dated. Because we always shared the same friends and we would run into each other at picnics and church functions. So, you know, that was.
So by that time you were pretty, you had grown in the Lord and everything whenever he first.
Oh, because I was not interested in Tom when I first went to church because he was not my type. I used to like the bad boys, you know what I mean? Like, so God was working, did a really a deep work in my heart. And for that 3 years that I came back to Wisconsin, he taught me how to love. So my relationship with really was Jesus. He taught me how to love. And that's how I was able to love others. Because, you know, before it was just a selfish love. It's me, myself, and I, and my way or the highway, right? But God's love is different. It's totally unconditional. And, you know, so it's a whole different kind of thing.
Isn't that amazing how God, he can change you so much that he even changes your type, like the type of person that you're attracted to?
Yeah, I call my old person the evil twin. That's like my evil twin. I'm like, that used to be me, like, wow. And you know what? And that is the power of the gospel. You know, we can say all we want, but if there's no change, you know, just sometimes I say, just look at my life. It's changed. I am not the same person. And I do not want to be that same person. That person is, you know, terrible.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you run in a lot of the same churches that believe in miracles and the power of God, a lot of times people throw around the word revival, and they often think of revival as just the miracles, right? The supernatural things of God. But the reality is revival is actually transformation. Right. And you can have, I mean, in Panama, I imagine Laos is the same way. In Panama, there are witch doctors who can heal the sick, but they don't bring any transformation. They only bring death to the location that they're in. And so really, miracles are great and it's wonderful whenever God does them, but really it's the transformation of a person or transformation of society. That's whenever you know, like, that's the fruit. People keep thinking miracles are the fruit, but it's actually change in a human being. That's what the fruit is. And so I love hearing that whenever those testimonies of whenever God has completely changed someone. I mean, that's what it says in Revelation, right? That the saints overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's why I love doing these interviews, because I get to hear people's stories, hear their testimonies, and it's so powerful and it's so encouraging for people who listen and get to hear what God has done in different people's lives from all kinds of walks of life. So how you and Thomas, how long have you guys been married now?
About 15 years.
15 years, about the same as me. And now, so your last blog post, you said that it was going to be your last post about raising Isaiah. And now you're transitioning into doing posts on healthy relationships. Is that going to come out of your relationship with Tom, or do you counsel couples, or how did that come about?
This is actually, I just feel like God was wrapping up that season with Isaiah. I'm still going to write about him, but I'm kind of taking a pause from that. I feel like God is putting up my heart to kind of moving into a new topic. So the relationship part will be kind of like my past dating experience, just having a healthy relationship. I don't want to give away the title yet, but it'll be probably within 2 weeks. But it's just a lot of mistakes that I have made, and just trying to share whatever tips that has helped me to in the dating process. Like, I've dated like just so many things that of what not to do. You know what I mean? If I can help someone to not make a lot of the mistakes that I did. I think it's going to be more for single people. So I'm gearing towards more healthy dating towards single people.
Well, are those going to be blog posts as well? Or are you going to make?
It'll be a series. Do you know how I did a series with Isaiah? It'll be a series of just singleness and healthy dating and so yeah
that's so important. There's so many.
So it's not gonna be marriage counseling. This is more geared towards like people who are single in relationship. So I don't know if I should give you the theme.
Oh, you don't have to give anything away. I would love to hear it, but I also know the importance of that moment of, all right, we're releasing this now, and how important that is. And yeah. I just think that's so good, because I in what we do on the mission field as well, we run into a lot of single people. And that's, you know, whenever you're single, that's one of the big questions in life, right? Like, who am I going to marry? How do I know who the right person is? How do I avoid those mistakes? Because a lot of people, they get in, they're so driven by emotions, which we've all been there, that a lot of people make really bad mistakes. And so I think it's wonderful whenever God calls people into that realm of ministry, of helping people in relationships, because it is such a key thing in our lives.
Yeah. Especially with a single and young, cause I mean, I know the mistakes that I did, and I just want to share with them. And so it'll be kind of, the story, the theme will be wrapped around Queen Esther, the making of a queen. So it'll be talking about, you know.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have. I'm looking over my notes here and just reminding myself I need to go get some spring roll ingredients for spring rolls. And
And text me. Or, you know what? Take a picture and send it to my Instagram. Let me know how it turns out. Just messenger me. Go, hey, I did something. It didn't turn out. You can do that. And I'll kind of, you know.
I think I made it upside down or something. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you. So thank you for just sharing everything here on this podcast, and then, well, just your blog posts as well. They're really wonderful. And I really want to encourage you as well, just to keep going with it. Because really, the people that you're reaching, I know that the Lord is going to keep bringing people to you and keep opening up these doors for you to be able to keep reaching more and more people. Because you are in your life from I was thinking, as you were talking about, you're going to write a book about your mother. I was thinking, man, you should write a book about your own life, because just the way that you have lived from a refugee in Laos and remembering going through the jungles and the geckos and being in refugee camps and then just coming to Wisconsin and just the life that you've had, that you could write a book about your mother and then a book about yourself.
Right. And thank you for that confirmation, because my mother passed away, so I didn't really understand. I didn't really know the whole full story. And so God said, why don't you finish it from your perspective? You know, kind of, she started, I'm going to finish it. So I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm just praying for time, because, we just decided we're going to homeschool the kids again this year because of what's going on with the COVID. So that's going to, I'm like, Lord, how am I going to do everything? I feel like, it's so much.
Oh, I completely understand. I homeschool my two boys as well. And yeah, it's everything all together. It's a lot.
Lord, you got to give me, I don't know. I think there's a time and a season. I'll kind of know. So it's obviously maybe next year I have more time. I just got to start working on it. And God also told me to write a book about Isaiah too. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, how many books are we writing here? Oh yeah.
Well, definitely let me know whenever you're writing it. I would love to, or whenever you finish it, I'd love to have you back on to talk about your books as well and hear more about your story and what God has been doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, with this podcast thing, how does that work? Do you like host it, or how do I share it with my friends, or how do you do that?
So this episode with you, this is going to come out on this coming Tuesday. So I have an interview with a pastor in Oklahoma City that's coming out on Thursday. And then on the next coming Tuesday, this interview will come out. So what I'll do is I'll send you the links. And then that way you can share it with anybody. You can put it on your Facebook or whoever you want to share it with. And I don't think Instagram allows links, but you can just share it however you like. And so it'll go live on Tuesday. And then as soon as it goes live that same morning, I'll send you those links. And then people, they download it on their phones, or they can listen to it on their computers. There's a whole over a dozen platforms that people can listen on. But if they have an Apple phone or a Samsung, which most people do, you pretty much have it built into your phone. You can listen really easily.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Be praying for you too with your radio thing here.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Keep up the good work. God bless.
God bless. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.